Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We welcome you on board to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. And lest I fail to do so early on in the broadcast, let me remind you that you can dial 401-1413. You can join in the dialogue and discussion today. We're looking forward to your input. Let me remind us once again, this broadcast is designed around you, our listener. The format is in such a way that we can bring up and discuss, generally speaking, issues that are current, issues that are controversial oftentimes, issues that are conservative theological doctrinal issues, biblical issues. What does the Bible say, and how do we respond to them? And we believe it is vital and necessary in the community in which we live to have this type broadcast that you might understand what the Word of God says and the responsibility we have as Christians to be salt and light in the society in which we live. Oftentimes today, may I remind us that when we tell the truth, when we speak the truth, it is considered hate speech today. In fact, we'll be talking about that in a moment. Is truth hate speech? Is truth hate speech? Should it be viewed as hate speech, or should it be viewed in the light of which it is communicated? What does the Word of God say? And let me remind us once again, when we think on truth, we understand what Jesus said to his disciples. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. I want us to notice the connectivity and the content and the context of that statement. Jesus said, if you continue, stay constantly in my word. If we continue to study the word, we continue to meditate on the word, if we continue to be obedient to the word, Jesus says, then you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed simply means truly, absolutely. We are his disciples only if we continue in the word. And as we continue in the word, constantly dwell on the word, we then can know the truth, and it's then that the truth can set us free. Jesus said that to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. But then Jesus said very emphatically, very de facto, in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we speak of truth, we're speaking of the Word of God. And as Christians, as moral, ethical human beings, may I remind us, we ought to tenaciously stand on truth without any compromise, without any fear, without any apology. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue today, let me remind you that Conservative Theological University's fall semester begins this evening. We have classes Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. We've discovered over the past 35 plus years that it's best to offer classes at night simply because so many of our students that are pastors, bivocational pastors, associate pastors, and different and sundry view of and background in biblical theological teaching and preaching, that it's best to have the classes at night so that the people that are students can participate. So tonight at 5:30 is the orientation for the fall semester, and then at 6:30 is a truncated first semester, first class that will be taught. Let me encourage you, if you're listening If you're a pastor, if you're associate pastor involved in any form of ministry, and you have a sense of God's calling you to further, to deepen, to widen the breadth and the depth of your theological understanding and the knowledge of the Word of God, we'd love to lock arms with you and have the privilege of impacting your life with the truth of the Word of God, that your life might impact the lives of others. And one final note, we have just six that we'll be able to share this with for this semester. But we are offering for the first six that apply that have never been students here before, and you want to go into your Associates of Arts program. We have a full 100% tuition-only scholarship available. And I emphasize the tuition-only scholarship because that tuition itself is $9,300 for the associate's degree. That's 62 credit hours. It's not just for a semester. It's for the full 62 credit hours, which is a two-year degree program for the Associates of Arts in Biblical Studies. We'd love to have you come on board and allow us to train you through our professors and our faculty and staff here at Conservative Theological University. If you want to just show up this evening, we'd be delighted to have you sit in as an observer to make the determination of what God would have you to do. If you'd like to enroll, we'd suggest that you get here an hour early so that that can be done prior to the orientation session. And we urge you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That number reaches the university from across the nation and around the globe, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Or you can simply dial the local number, 904-262-8275, and leave your information for somebody to get back with you. This will be the last opportunity that you'll have to do something like this at the start of this semester. Now, you'll have the opportunity, of course, at any time, but to start this new semester with us, you would need to be able to be enrolled and be involved during the course of this semester opening program. Usually we'll take students up to 2 weeks, sometimes as late as 3 weeks into the semester, but we recommend that you get on board before the semester starts. 1-800-GO-BIBLE gets you through to the Conservative Theological University, and then you can leave the information for someone in admissions to get back with you and get you enrolled and registered. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been listening this morning, by the way, to some of the Judge Kavanaugh's opening remarks for the hearing of the nomination, and I don't believe I've seen anything that's any greater fiasco than what I've seen and heard in the attempts to have a sane, civil communication from the Democratic side and the Republicans. The Democrats have tried to obstruct. They have tried to overcome the fact that the inquiry is going forward. They've tried to delay and to derail the information that's attempted to be offered. And even though they have an opportunity, there'll be hearings all week and into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if necessary, to have the final vote. But they're unsatisfied with that. They're trying to derail the process. And ladies and gentlemen, in doing so, it makes them look like children playing at a day school and fighting over the toys. So if you have opportunity to tune in and listen to that today or tomorrow or watch it by way of television, I think it could be informational for us all to see exactly what the wicked left, those on the left, some call them Democrats, those on the left that's trying to obstruct and prevent an individual that is highly qualified from being approved. He's already been nominated, trying to prevent him from being approved on the Supreme Court seat. So I am concerned, but nevertheless, I want you to pray that God will intervene and truncate the process and allow this to be done so that he can be seated as a Supreme Court justice when their full hearings start in October. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to talk about today asking the question, is truth hate speech? Or what do you determine? How do you determine hate speech? We've got to the point in societal living, and especially with the intervention of the socialist left in our society today, that most of the average person could not differentiate between true speech and hate speech. But when we speak the truth, if it is any way conflicting with the left, any way conflicting with the unethical, disingenuous on the left, then it is called hate speech. For anyone still believing that Facebook, for example, ladies and gentlemen, is unbiased and non-political, we need to wake up and smell the coffee. Every social media platform today is biased against the Christians and against the conservatives. Now, you're free to challenge that if you'd like, but I think my mother used to call it the proof is in the pudding. I think that the evidence is empirical and overwhelmingly factual that this is the case. Yahoo, Twitter, Google, Facebook, et cetera, may I suggest all should be charged with anti-free speech, or if you please, they should be charged with trying to truncate or to foreclose or to prevent our First Amendment freedom of speech. That is a fact that is uncontrovertible. I believe that it is real today, trying to become a thought police for society. The right could be, looked at as correct. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody on the right side of the aisle is always safe. That doesn't mean that every Republican is always a Christian. That's not the point at all. Have you ever seen or ever thought that our First Amendment rights could be countered or some way outright canceled? Yet we still have quite a few, in fact, millions upon millions of people today that seem not to care or be concerned. So if you listen to this broadcast today and you're concerned, because what I want us to understand, we're living in the days that the Scripture tells us and warns us about, that this know also that in the last days, perilous, that means dark, dangerous, desperate times shall come. And may I remind us, we're in those desperate, dark days. We're in the days of society that, as the book of Judges refers to every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. We're in a societal mindset today that is a churning, fomenting divisiveness that I've never witnessed in my life. And as Christians, we ought to be concerned, because as Christians, somehow, some way, the fomenting and the name-calling and the racist slurs that are being bounded about ought to be checked, and there ought to be a balance. And every Christian ought to stand up, speak up, and be seen, and not be afraid to join in the dialogue and discussion, because that's the way the mantra is on the left, to try to silence free speech today. We're talking about, is truth hate speech? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the Islamics and the socialists and the entire sodomite organizations are never censored. You can find, if you find any place anybody can give empirical evidence that that part of society, that speech portion of society has been censored by Google or Yahoo or Twitter or Facebook, I'd like for somebody to give me the evidence of that. It simply does not exist. But when it comes to we the people that are conservative, and you don't have to be Christian to be conservative, but I find that most Christians are conservative. In fact, I've said for many, many years it's an impossibility to be a Democrat, to be a liberal, and to say I'm saved, because the platform that they stand on is antithetical to anything that's found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. But may I remind us today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian and want to display the cross, if you're a Christian and you want to discuss heaven or hell, if you're a Christian and you say anything about the sin of homosexuality, you may face what some have deemed today as Facebook hell. That is, you'll be put in the pit. You'll be blocked. You'll be taken out of the circulation from Facebook. This has happened over and over and over again. In the duo called Diamond and Silk, political conservatives, they were blocked by Facebook. And I could go on with a list that is intractable in relationship to the number of people that have had their Facebook accounts blocked or canceled, and Twitter and Google. In fact, we're finding out more every day with what Twitter and Google is doing, what Yahoo is doing, and other of the social media, as it's called, to try to prevent free speech. Because they are saying that free speech is no longer free speech. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, and I'm looking at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in my hand. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free speech thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of the people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's called our First Amendment. It's in the Bill of Rights. And I understand completely. There are those that will have the mantra, well, these organizations are independent businesses. It's not the government. And so they can have the authority to cancel your free speech. Not on your life if they have the predominance of the dialogue and the discourse in society on a global basis under their control and under their thumb. They can no longer act as big brother to decide who can go through that little pipe of information and who cannot. But ladies and gentlemen, several of the conservatives have had their accounts closed and are blocked. And of course, the social media, all of these media giants, they're simply having the mantra and saying, well, you know, we're not biased. We're not doing that on a causative basis. We're not even looking at those accounts. It's our algorithms that we've developed that's doing that. Well, an algorithm is simply a sequence of numbers that are keyed in to the programming of their process of delivering information. And those algorithms, those keyed in data informational links are keyed in by those that have a bias. In fact, out of Silicon Valley, may I just use an arbitrary and capricious number that perhaps as high as 99%+ of those are liberals. They're from the left coast and they are liberals, may I suggest. And as a result of that, how can they program in an unbiased algorithm that's going to allow your information and my information to have free flow in the society in which we're living in today? Here's an article that says LGBT activists team up with Facebook to silence all conservatives. Let me just read you a blurb or two from this elongated article. And I think it is prima facie evidence of what I'm saying in relationship to truth becoming hate speech today. And the truth and the conservatives and especially conservative Christians voices being silenced. This article says the LGBT agenda is infiltrating its way into the American culture at a rapid rate. And the consequences are irreversible. While the LGBT crew claims all they want is acceptance and tolerance, nothing could be farther from the truth. And with social media platforms giving cover to their agenda, speaking of cover to the agenda of the LGBT, those who dare to speak out against the lies of the LGBT community are being punished for speaking the truth. Now, that's my very point. The LGBT community is known to try and silence those who disagree with them, and everybody knows that. If you don't believe that, think about the Christian Baker that there was an attempt to silence. He was out of Colorado. Think of the Christian teacher who was punished for refusing to cave into the LGBT curriculum. Think of the Christian florist in Oregon, where she was prosecuted and persecuted and now awaiting the Supreme Court, probably they'll pick up her case in the fall to make a determination. Think of the cake baker, Jack Phillips, that was persecuted and prosecuted as a result of the LGBTQ and their demands that he be prosecuted. I find it strange, a strange bedfellow, as it used to be called, where there are those that seem to say, well, you know, that's all right. We can just keep on moving and we don't have to worry about what they do. But yes, we do. It is foreclosing and censoring our First Amendment rights. This article further says, well, now, fellow mommy activist blogger Elizabeth Johnston got a taste of LGBT's crew's hatred when she dared to post that being transgender is a mental illness. The truth is, she is spot on, as this article says. Those who are born with one gender but identify as another are truly mentally ill. And that was posted on Facebook and other social media. And as a result of speaking the truth, it was considered hate speech. And the so-called algorithm shut down the activist blogger Elizabeth Johnston's Facebook account. She goes on to say, It's not normal to suddenly decide to be different, she said, or to have a different gender. When it comes to Mummy, M-O-M-M-Y, that's what she calls herself, Mummy blogger, simply exercised her First Amendment rights to speak truth. Facebook responded by stating her post was hate speech. Hear me? That's what I'm talking about today, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about, is truth now in the category of hate speech? If I were to tell you the truth about something, am I speaking hate speech? I'm a little bit wary with that in our society today, where it's either considered racist or hate speech, one or the other. The left, when they are academically unable, and they are, if you please, intellectually unable to debate the issues and talk about the issues, they will automatically digress to, well, that's racist or that's a hate speech. You're just hateful or you're just a racist. I'm fed up with that. I'm tired of hearing that mantra when the farthest thing from the truth is actually the case. May I remind us, this is what bullying looks like in 2018. Johnson wrote in her post accompanying the link to normalize our mental illness or to say that we are going to sue you simply because of your speech. But ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned about where we are as Christians, because just as they're trying to pass the bill in California that will ultimately make the Bible, the Word of God, hate speech because it tells the truth about the sodomite lifestyle. The very worst part about these activists, they will not stop until their agenda dominates our society. That's their goal. That's their ultimate utopian desire. And they are willing to go to any lengths, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, to make that happen. The worst part of it is the leftist giants like Facebook deeming conservative viewpoints as hate speech. It looks like the battle ahead will be long and hard for the Christian to have to fight. But I'm prayerful that we'll have a Supreme Court in the fall that will make a difference in these decisions going forward with some of these cases that's now plaguing moral ethical society. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we, the people, have a choice on November the 6th. And you'll hear me say something about this several times between now and election time, simply because I believe we have either Congressman Ron DeSantis as the Republican candidate for governor in the state of Florida. Ron DeSantis, a congressman that has a superb, pristine voting record in Washington in relationship to conservative issues. He has the mantra, as President Trump does, make America great again. He is wanting to protect our constitutional rights. He wants to make sure that we have the right to keep and bear arms. He will stand for religious liberties and religious freedom and religious free speech. He will stand with the president on building the wall. He will stand with what we want to do and see as our constitutional liberties in America. And may I remind us, he stands for equal rights and not for special rights for the LGBTQ community. Now, with that being said, we the people can either select him as governor of the state of Florida. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, all of Washington, all of the elitists, all of the left coast and the right coast that are looking to take control of the House and the Senate on November the 6th, they're all looking at the state of Florida. We are in the spotlight. The state of Florida is in the spotlight for the November the 6th election, because if the state of Florida votes for a rank liberal, a socialist liberal, then that means that we have lost the House and the Senate in Washington and for the next 4 years, and also perhaps even losing the presidency in 2020. Gillum is his name, Andrew Gillum. Let me just give you a few things that this young 39-year-old socialist stands for. He wants free health care for all, free education for all, no border wall, wants to remove President Trump, wants to impeach him. He stands for higher taxes. He wants equal income for everyone. He is for the LGBT community. He is for Planned Parenthood and the continuing murder of human beings in the womb of the mother. I don't think I need to say anything more. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, I am saddened. I am shocked. I am dilemmified to find out that Duval County was one of the counties out of three others, I believe it was, in the state of Florida, that carried this rank liberal, Andrew Gillum, to the success when he beat out, I think it was four other candidates on the Democratic line, Democratic Party side, as being the candidate to face off with Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis, a perfect, if you please, gentleman from the standpoint of morals and ethics and values and Christian values, now standing against one that's a ranked liberal. And we find, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. This is the reason it's so important for us to understand. We're called hate mongers when we speak the truth. Some that's listening to my voice today will view this as a racist hate speech. But I want you to understand, I don't apologize for it. I'm simply going on the authority of the Word of God that we have the responsibility as Christians to stand up, speak the truth, be heard, and to be salt and light in a decaying society in which we're living in. But ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful to have a candidate like Ron DeSantis that's running in this race for governor. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we as Christians must vote for this governorial race for Ron DeSantis if we want to preserve the state of Florida and the standards of morals and ethics and values that sought. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the other candidate, Andrew Gillum, he is being funded by the LGBT community. He is being funded by Planned Parenthood. He is being funded by the Political Action Committee, known as the CPACs, by the avid liberal socialist Bernie Sanders. With those three out-of-state funders coming in, they are going to try to overwhelm the system. They're going to blast it on the airwaves, radio and television, to try to convince you, the people, we the people, that we need to turn the state of Florida into a socialist community. Every Christian, and every church, every pastor must stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question, please.
Yeah, Brother Youngblood, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, and I appreciate you keeping us apprised of the situation going on. It doesn't surprise me because perilous times obviously are coming.
Yes.
And they're
right.
Already here. But just a suggestion, and you could take it for what it's worth. Wouldn't it be good, you're bringing us up to speed on what's going on, but initially say, quote, something like, the government will be rest on his shoulders, on his shoulders, and his name will be called Pelioi Sel Gabor Abiyad Sar Shalom, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or peace. To start a program maybe like that on the positive note, and then at the end possibly, you know, from Isaiah chapter 11, which most believe is a millennial chapter. Some take it as a heavenly chapter, but and possibly to bookend it.
It's millennial. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, some say it isn't, and I don't agree with them, but I like to bring up opposing viewpoints just for the sake of discussion. But it talks about faithfulness will be his belt around his waist, and they won't hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And it talks about his resting place will be glorious. Or glory. So wouldn't it be interesting to start off on a positive note and then mention everything you do so well and then end on a positive note so you'd bookend it with positiveness in the beginning and the end?
We've got about a minute left. Let me take this last minute to answer your question, but thank you for your call. I agree with what you're saying from the standpoint of positively thinking and positive speaking. I disagree with it vehemently that we need to start and end on something positive if we're living in society in which we're living in today. And by the way, the text you quoted are wonderful texts, but in the millennial reign, that is true. We happen to be in the real world today, in the real life today, facing the wicked one, the fiery darts of the wicked one, facing Satan and the demons of hell, and we need to realize what they're doing in the destruction and the demise of societal warp and woof. That is the fabric of society. Yes, in the millennial reign, all of this will be true. We will have peace, prosperity, and plenty as the world has never known. But when the scripture talks about what the last days are going to be like, we need to be honest with the general public, honest with ourselves, that there are perilous times, they are present. present, and we need to understand in the perilous times, in the last days in which we're living in, Satan is running rampant. He is destroying the church. He's attempting to destroy Christians. He has come to seek to tear down and destroy everything that Christ wants to build up. So we need to know the truth. I've said this many, many times down through the past 55 years. If I were to stand in the pulpit and tell you there's evil outside, but I don't warn you and tell you and describe that evil, wicked one and what to expect, your life is in danger. You walk out as sheep before the wolves. As sheep living in society today, we need to recognize the wolves. We need to recognize what we need to do. And yes, indeed, the positive aspect of it is we know the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. We know that Christ is still on the throne. We know that Christ is still sovereign. And we know that the scripture warns us very clearly and very directly that we need to come before God. And in this Old Testament text in 2 Chronicles, it's dealing with the prayer of Solomon at the building of the temple, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.